Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Now, I had up on the screen here momentarily some weather. There's a weather map. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, you know that we've been sort of fumbling and stumbling our way through the weather map here. But I have a radar, and our one of our studios in Washington, when I say one of our studios, a studio that we use that allows us to uplink to our various stations is in Washington, and our good technical director and friend Nikki is there, and she's in D.C., and I said, I'm looking at the radar here, and I don't see any weather coming your way. And she goes, that's great. I said, oh, wait a minute. I was looking at this hour. I have to look at the future. And
what does it mean, the future?
You're looking at into the future of it?
You can look and see which way the wind's blowing, man, as the as the song says.
Well, what does that mean, which way the wind's blowing? You have to be specific. There are people out there, Phil. This weather is very serious.
I understand that. And the weather that I'm looking at for the D.C. Baltimore area is a band of clouds containing ice heading their way from the south, the southwest, and it's traveling northeast. And it looks like it's going to go right across the Washington and Baltimore metropolitan areas later tonight. So the weather that has been hitting the rest of the country is pretty intense. Lots of snow. And I remember watching TV 3 years ago, I think it was, three or four years ago, when Washington, D.C. got hit with a big load of snow overnight, man. They had, I don't know how many feet of snow that was dumped on the city. How many? December, January, and February, three storms, and, oh, good Lord. How many feet of snow was that? Just like 50,000 feet? Yeah, it can't even be counted, folks. People were digging their way out.
But you're talking about snow, though. All you got to do is melt it. Now, you know, they'll melt it.
What do you mean, all you have to do is melt it, bud? What does that mean?
Well,
you know, if it's too cold, how do you melt it?
Bud, it turns to ice, you jackass. That means that people's cars... Oh, God, I don't even want to think about it.
Well, and the other thing that you haven't even mentioned, Phil, is have you ever driven on that stuff? Yes, I have, General. I have.
You have?
Yes.
And where was that?
That was in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Holy gee. So you know from whence you speak. Because we had in Alaska, you're speaking of Alaska, and in Newfoundland, we were at an air station in Newfoundland, and I can tell you, without further ado, that it was some kind of hell on earth.
What was the United States military doing in Canada? You're kidding.
Oh, the United States has a couple of military installations in Canada. Don't even worry about it. You bet.
We do?
Oh, sure. Why are you surprised?
Because Canada's a sovereign nation. Why would they have U.S. military installations there?
Because of the fact that we're the defense umbrella for Canada. In other words, the Canadian people, God bless them, do not have to invest as much of their GNP and their GDP. And the GDP... I'm sorry, excuse me. Get me water, Bud, because I'm speaking now, Bud.
Yes, sir.
Bud?
Yes, sir.
I'm speaking about national defense, and I don't want to come off sounding like a voice-cracking punk, jail bitch.
Alan, get some now.
Hold on, please.
All right, General Shaw... I'm sorry about your cold.
That's all right. Yeah, that's better. Boy, that's lousy water. Where do you get your water around here?
Just regular water.
God, did you come through pipes? Never mind, I can taste the metal. All right, now, what I was saying is, the United States, because it provides the only defense umbrella that Canada has... Naturally, we have to have military installation there. The Canadian people save much of their GDP, the GNP, the GDP, and the GNP. And
well, you said that twice, sir.
I'm sorry. The GDP, gross domestic product, and the GMP, well, you can't say that word.
What?
I'm not going to say. I told you can't say the N-word.
The GNP.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the gross... Well,
Don't say it. Are you nuts or something?
Who are you calling smile when you say that?
But, General, the GNP, gross national product, you can't say the N-word.
Well, my friend, if I see N by itself anywhere, let me tell you I've got sensitivity.
Really? What about the NFL?
Well, I thought that that was a... Well...
Oh, my God, you racist.
That is not racist.
Oh, so you thought it was the N-word football league.
Well, think about it.
You know what, General?
Hold on for a minute. I didn't name that league. That was someone else named that league.
National Football League. National Football League. National, gross national product.
Phil, I'm not accustomed to being spoken, to being speaked to in the way in which you're doing it. Okay?
Are you drunk?
No, I'm not drunk. Have I been drinking? Ask me that.
Have you been drinking?
Yes, I have.
Well, that's his problem.
No, I don't have a problem. The only problem I have is not being heard. At a time like this...
General, let me get you another Nilla wafer.
At a time like this...
Yeah, there he goes.
Well, what in the hell do you think got into him?
I don't know. He's retired, and he's got his days to him, as his wife Patsy does all that volunteer work. I think he goes down to the old... I think he goes down to the VFW and just gets hammered before he comes in here. The N-word football league.
Man, you know, because he's a general, I didn't say anything. You know, because he devoted his life to defending this country. That's very offensive.
You know what? There's something wrong with him, man. Something wrong. Well, yeah, he's drunk. So anyway, the GDP and the GNP, so he was going to say that, you know, the Canadian people devote a lot of their, they don't have to devote a lot of their GNP or GDP to their national defense.
Well, I think that makes the Canadian people look a little bit chicken-esque, and I think that's wrong. I think it's very wrong.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. It means that they know. Look, it, Canada knows which side of the bread they understand, and the United States has made it probably very clear to them, we'll take it from here. I mean, I'm not saying they don't have a defense force. Yes, they do. And I'm not saying they don't have a navy and an army. Yes, they do, and they've got a very good air force. But the fact is, it's a small country, and the U.S. and Canada, there's no question in my mind, have a long-standing understanding that we will take the lead when it comes to the North American defense strategy. I'm not saying that we're going to tell them what to do, but, I mean, we've got the hardware. You know, we got the radar. We can scramble the bombers and all that jazz.
Now, what does that mean, scramble the bombers?
You don't put them up in the air.
Yeah, it's when they scramble it.
Well, what does that mean, though?
When they scramble a bomber?
Yes.
They scramble to it.
It means they fly. They scramble them. They get them up in the air.
Yeah, but they're scrambling to it.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. They're scrambling to it.
What?
I guess Bud's saying that before the plane takes off, they got to scramble out to the... Is that what you mean, Bud?
Yeah, because they're sleeping, and then they go... Dee-dee, or whatever it is, like an... what do you call it?
An alarm.
Yeah. What are you getting all weird about it for?
Because you're taking forever here, man.
So when the alarm goes off, which probably sounds like dee 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 or something like that, then they scramble out of their bed.
Yeah.
Do they have scrambled eggs for breakfast?
Ah, wow, that's great. Wow, that's high comedy.
Well, dude, you know, you're the guy that leans on. You take a word, Bud, you can make a whole show out of one word. So anyway, they scrambled, yeah, the jets, the bombers, all that jazz.
Well, I just don't like... You have relatives in Canada, Phil. How dare you make them look like they're chicken crap?
I'm not saying anything of the sort. Not you got to really run a long way to reach that conclusion. I haven't said anything of the sort. I agree with the general that there's no question that the Canadian National Forces, the Canadian Defense Forces, coordinate with the United States military. There's no question that we have a coordinated strategy for the defense of North America, should it be the case. Look, let me tell you something. After 9/11, on that day, when we shut U.S. airspace down, those planes diverted to Canada. Now, that wasn't just all of a sudden made up on like, oh, well, I guess we'll just open up a bunch of airports. There was an emergency protocol that went into place, I'm sure, that the Canadians were very well aware of, had probably drilled for, or at least had a familiarity with in terms of the process and procedure. They were ready to take all of that international traffic. They were ready to clear off the runways and clear the, you know, clear the decks and get everybody safely landed. Now, that happened on that day. Nobody gave them, you know, nobody called them up and said, hey, today we're going to be closing American airspace. You guys better be ready.
Well, that's a good point. What was the name of that man who ran the FAA, Gene Slime?
Sliney. His name was Ben Sliney. S-I-S-L-I-N-E-Y.
Ben Slimy.
Not Slimy. Don't start going down that road, man.
No, he's going on the road. You said Slimy.
No, I didn't. I said Slimy. Ben Slimy. And if you see the great movie United 93 by Paul Greengrass, the same guy who's done West of Memphis and some other things, that role of Ben Slimy was played by Ben Slimy. He played himself. In fact, they told this story when Paul Greengrass was looking to cast United 93 because it was a improv'd film.
They were looking for someone to play Ben Slimy.
Ben Slimy.
Yes.
They were. And Greengrass, I think he said, he called up, or Ben Slimy said, he called me up and he said, you know, we're looking for someone to play you and we haven't found him yet. And Slimy said, well, then why don't you just use me? And they did. He was terrific. The whole movie is amazing. If you haven't seen it, you should. United 93, done as an improvisational piece within the confines of a certain document that they'd written for that movie. Okay, you're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Twitter nears an all-time high as it is profiting off of your web history. Did you know that? A terrible, no-good, rotten, stinking year for Daniel Snyder. We got to get Joe Dickhead and the Professor on. They had a wretched weekend of picking NFL games, as I figured they probably would, and how one 65-year-old spent years making porn with his wife's blessing. And we probably should have read that before we talked to Bobby and the crew, but hey, whatever. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back with our Tweeterton story here. Hello. Oh, I muted the audio. So that was great.
Yeah, nice thinking.
Sorry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. I'm sitting there talking to Nikki. I said, you know what? I'm hearing noises. I don't know what that is, but I know what I'll do. I'll just mute the audio. Yeah, great. You mute the audio and no audio. There it is. Sorry.
Good thinking.
World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And hi. I'm looking at all kinds of snow stuff. There's just a archival storm footage on the Weather Channel, and they were interviewing a guy who had been caught in a snowstorm as a mountain climber. All kinds of stories, you know, all kinds of stories. And especially if here in the United States, it can happen here. It doesn't have to happen at 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 feet. It can happen while you're driving your car. It can happen when you just suddenly, for whatever reason, you lose the electrical in your car, you run out of gas. If you run out of gas, that's a bad thing.
Well, for whatever reason, if you run out of gas, we know the reason. You're a real clown. And let that, you know, and I underline that three times.
Why?
If you run out of gas.
But if it's 60 below wind chill and you run out of gas, good luck.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Give me this, well, yeah. So anyway, it can happen right here at ground zero, man, you know, at regular elevations. And you've seen it happen. You've read about it. People getting, you know, lost lost in the snow, or perhaps the car stalled and they had to spend the night in the car. Sometimes it's fatal, you know.
But I read about a guy hugging his dog one time.
What are you talking about?
He survived, man, because he hugged his dog.
Oh, I read about that.
Yeah, he stayed warm by hugging his dog, and the dog stayed warm by hugging him.
The dog hugged him. You guys have got to be high on a mixture of chemicals.
But you know something? Just what you need to do is realize that you're a jackass, and you don't know everything, okay? Anyway, welcome back, and we certainly do wish everybody in our listening audience who's affected by this weather, we want you to be safe, and we stay warm. It's going to be okay. It's going to be like a...
Well, I think it's just lovely to have the white Christmas.
Yeah, but Margaret, there have been fatalities.
Well, I'm just saying, yes, you're right, and that's bad, but the white Christmas, you know...
Yeah, it's sad that there's so much snow that people are being hurt by it.
But if you think of the... when was the last time... You know, I remember the Dickensian, you know? You know what the Dickensian is, don't you?
Yes, as it pertains to Charles Dickens.
Yes, and
as it pertains to who?
Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens, all right, and that's called Dickensian.
Dickensian.
Okay. All right, I follow. Go right ahead.
Yes. The Dickensian vision of Christmas is...
What's that? Hey, Bud.
I said already, Bud. Do you want me to go Three Stooges on you? You remember when I said I'm going to go Mo Howard on you and you laughed?
Yeah.
I meant it. I'm going to take these two fingers and I'm going to...
Hey. You almost put it in my eyes.
That's right.
Take it easy.
You're going to go Mo Howard all over me. Wow, that's kind of perverted.
I didn't mean sexually. You wish, okay?
All right, the two of you, knock it off.
In any event, Dickensian, not Dickinsonian, is about...
Well, hold on. I'm the one that said Dickinson's, and he didn't. The idiot here did not. I did that, not the idiot.
Well, I'm putting it on him anyway, all right? He said it, he got it. And there goes Phil laughing again.
I don't know why that cracks me up when you say that, but it just does.
What?
He said it, he got it.
I don't know why.
What a babbling goon. So, Charles Dickens and, oh, God. You see, I'm straining to be heard. I'm straining to bring sanity back into this program. I'm going, Charles Dickens. Charles Dickens brought into Christmas the vision of the snowbound streets, the silence of winter, the silence of a Christmas Eve, as if the earth itself is asleep under that blanket of snow, awaiting the dawning of that blessed day, the winter solstice, the birth, yes, the birth of the Savior and the Son of Man, Jesus. And I'd like to bring on the line right now, Phil. You said I could do this.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Raj Fanin, and Raj is in Los Angeles. And Raj, you are a big lover of Christmas, aren't you?
Thank you, Margaret. Yes, I am a big lover of Christmas, this great time of year, and the Dickensian, you said it, man. It's great.
Now, Raj, you're from Egypt.
That's right, but living in America, you know, I've come to love the different holidays, and I love this Christmas, you know. And we love to sing the different Christmas carol. My son thought, you know, was born here in America, but speaks Arabic, you know, because he wants his Arab roots to be good, you know, to be firm, you know. But he loves the Christmas too, Todd. Huh? Yeah, he says Santa Claus is a good old boy, you know.
Now, Raj, you and the family moved to the United States when?
We came here about 4 years ago, and I was set up business with my brother. We do insulation for aircraft insulation in the San Fernando Valley, you know.
All right, and originally you observed all of the traditional Muslim holidays?
Oh, yeah, sure, you know, Ramadan and what happened, and I don't mean any disrespect, but the song on the radio, my son thought, he says, Daddy, what is the song Rama Ding Dong? And I said, it's American. No. It's American. He said, but Daddy, I said, and so I listened to the song Rama Lama Ding Dong. I said, oh, man, no, you can't. It's going to mess everybody up. Well, sure enough, you know, I come home and Todd says, hey, Mommy. And he says to his uncle, Uncle Azuzi, hear a song called Rama Lama Ding Dong. And they're like, what the hell? You know, it messed us up for weeks, you know, before we got back to what I call, we got back to the center, you know, got back to ground zero, you know.
What, so just the name of the song, Ram-a-Lama Ding Dong?
You know the song goes, I've got a girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the song.
Todd heard the song. He goes, Todd, can you hear the song of Ram-a-Lama Ding Dong?
Okay, he's singing it like in Arabic.
He don't want to sing it in English, you know, because when he's not at school, he wants to practice Arabic, right? Got a bit on?
All right, go ahead. Well, we only have a minute, so hold on.
Good enough,
what did he just say?
I don't want to say.
What did he say?
He said it was a pain in the ass. But he wasn't meaning you, you know.
All right, hold on. We got a minute. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Raj. Why do we have Raj Fanin on?
Because I thought it would be nice to have on a man whose family is learning to celebrate the various and sundry holidays that we have in America. Not that Christmas is exclusively American, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah, sort of. All right, we'll be back.
I mean, sort of.
Yeah, okay. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll be, yeah.
So I'm left. I just took one off the chin.
Hey, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. What do you got, bud?
That fat a ding-dong.
Why don't you speak in full...
Take it easy, Margaret.
I hate how he doesn't speak in full sentences.
You went out and did what?
I went out and got a ding-dong.
What do you mean? May I, bud?
Certainly, General.
Thank you.
Well, what are the two of you all of a sudden? Nixon and Kissinger... You know,
take it easy, will you, Margaret?
You know, Margaret, if you showed a little more patience with the boy...
I show patience with him, and he's looking...
She thinks I'm looking up her skirt.
In any event, what Bud is saying is we went and we looked up this ding-dong or whatever the hell this thing is.
Ram-a-lam-a ding-dong, is that it?
Yes, because Mr. Fanin was saying that it momentarily confused his family... as to the celebration of Ramadan. Now, I don't get it, and I'm not blaming the religion of Islam, obviously, is sacred, just as Christianity. I think Mr. Fanin himself is an imbecile. Please, is he on hold? Good. I think he sounds like he needs another quart of oil, if you know what I mean. And
all right, well, that may be the case, but you guys went out and found the song, so... What we can do is at some point play it. I don't know. We're talking with Raj Fanin here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have his son, Todd, with us as well, and we're discussing Christmas. And actually, this all started out with a discussion, Margaret, between yourself and myself. We were talking about the Dickensian view of Christmas. Dickensian meaning the Charles Dickens view of Christmas, which is the snow and so forth. So, Raj, that you appreciate that, huh?
The snow, you know, excuse me, the snow and it's great, you know, we love it. You know, I don't know a lot about the religion, you know, but then there's not a lot of people who understand the religion of the Muslim, you know. But so it's just a thought, you know, look, a lot of people in the Christian faith, you know, they make fun. They have, here comes Santa Claus, bopping down the Santa Claus lane, and this. So it says, Ram-a-lam-a ding-dong, you know, what'd you say, Todd? Todd said, yeah, it sounds like it's a send-up of Ramadan. I said, I got a girl, she and I celebrate Ramadan. And then I, you know, talked to a couple of people from our mosque, and they said, no. No way, no way, no way, man. No, you can't do that. Don't touch. I wouldn't touch that, man.
Meaning they didn't think it was funny?
No, they didn't think it was funny, you know.
Well, I don't understand that because in our society, you have the freedom of speech.
Yeah, sure. Well, whatever you say there, but in your society, you have the freedom of speech. And in my society...
It's the American society, my friend, that you live in.
Well, yes, that's true. But even in America, there are certain things... You're not going to say, you know.
That is true. You got to admit, General. You know, we may have free speech, but you don't yell fire in a crowded theater. But more to the point, you don't walk into certain places and just start running your mouth for fear.
Well, in America, you should have the freedom to say the things you want. We've fought long and hard for that.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you can't.
General, are you going to say that in every single neighborhood in America, you can just walk into any place and say what you want?
Well, I'm not saying in a private residence, no.
No, not a private residence. I mean, like, just walk into the, go into the street, go down to the store, go down to the Vons, you know, and say some, and start to talk your crap down on Garvey, you know. That's the first thing a guy said to me when I come to America. He says to me, you know, you're talking a lot of crap. Why don't you go talk your crap down on Garvey?
Down on Garvey?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's go down to Garvey, man. That's hard ass, that's hardcore, you know. Hey, Todd? Yeah, they hang hard. The Tutsis, they hang hard down there.
They hang hard down on Garvey.
Yeah, sure. So.
Well, I don't know anything about hanging hard anywhere. If you know, I obviously that sounds filthy. And the filth, and you had that child say that filth.
They're not talking about, they're talking about being tough guys.
Well, what are they? I don't understand.
Well, I know. From the context you're using there, I understand perfectly what you are talking about there. Now, what do you want to do here? Oh, yeah, we have the song here for you. So you can, Todd can start singing to his heart's content, I guess. I don't know. What the hell happened to the song?
You're talking about Ram-a-lama Ding Dong?
Yeah.
Hey, Todd. Did I throw the Ram-a-lama Ding Dong? He wants to start singing now.
Well, hold on. Where is it, bud?
I'm looking for it, man. I just bought it. And I don't know what happened to the ding dong. There it is. God, man.
Would you not call it ding dong? There it is.
This is iniquitous. Stop it. Please stop it. Would you please stop that noise? God, that's driving me ape. It's driving me way out of my mind. Further out of my mind than I should be.
Todd wants to know what happened to the music.
We turned it down because it was bugging the general.
Don't tell me what that means. Don't tell me.
Well, what he said was...
No. Don't tell me, because that'll save me from a homicide charge.
Well, I mean...
No, just don't tell me. You know, it reminds me of Delroy Lindo and Clockers. Don't tell me it'll save me from...
Hey, is this guy making fun of my kid?
He's laughing about... What are you laughing at, General?
I just don't want him to tell me what Todd said, because it'll save me from a homicide charge.
Well, he's laughing now.
Oh, so you think that's funny, huh?
No, just take it easy.
All right, I got to tell you, that's a marvelous thing that Todd is investing his time and his energies into understanding American doo-wop music. You know?
Yeah, sure. I said to Todd, you listen to the doo-wop, and what are the songs like? Nice Marcel's Blue Moon. Yeah, I like that. What's it? Do that. Yeah, do you recognize that?
Barely, you know.
What's that song called? The gibbering of the Arab street?
Hey, sunshine. I'm not coming on here and...
Don't call me sunshine. No, America's had enough of you, of your kind.
Oh, wow. Man, that's not fair at all, man. I come on here in good faith to talk about Christmas.
He did, bud. You're giving him a hard time, okay?
Mr. Henry, I'm sorry I didn't want to, but you started talking like Billy Bibbit in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You and he did pee, bud. You know, did you ever see the cuckoo nest, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's in the Lepotoli.
Yeah, Todd says you sound like Billy Bibbit.
Oh, boy, Phil, that's not very nice, them saying you sound like Billy Bibbit.
Billy Bibbit? You kidding?
Hey, Todd, this guy, he's a good one to call a hobby. Todd says you belong in the same place with Billy Bibbit, too. Sitting there in a semicircle with Death Ratchet, and Billy Bibbit's all, please don't tell my mother.
You know what? He hung up, didn't he?
It seems like he did, bud.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, even when I'm trying to be nice to the guy.
Well, Phil, I mean, at that point, he thought you were jacking with him, and you thought he was jacking with you.
Well, I think that I'm right calling me Billy Bibbit.
But you did. You went, I gotta agree with him there.
Yeah, that's great, bud. All the while, you're fighting the guy. Now he's off the air, and you're agreeing with him. What did I do?
Well, there was one point, Phil, where you went, you That's all I'm saying. Okay?
I got to tell you.
You know, all of you are very juvenile, and the audience is disgusted with the whole thing. They tune in to hear usable, workable, worthwhile information, and you're doing Billy Bibbit and that other one, and you, General, ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Wait, what did I do?
Oh, you're with the Delroy Lindo and Clockers. Save me from a homicide. I think it's racist.
I was not being racist. I was imitating Delroy Lindo. Oh, you know what?
Get a vanilla wafer.
That's exactly my thinking.
Okay. See, the General has learned from you how to just get up and leave the studio, which is unprofessional, is not the way to deal with a bad situation, and I don't like it.
And you're blaming me.
Yes, I'm blaming you. You set the example. With your Roy, he's out there smoking your cigars.
I told him he could.
Great. So when you guys you've had enough, you get up, you walk out, and you start smoking your cigars, and I'm here to deal with the wreckage, to pick up the wreckage.
That's right, Mr. Henry. Every time you people get up...
Don't call me you people.
I'm just saying, every time you people get up and go out to smoke your cigar, you leave them. Mr. Henry's got to pick up the debris.
Well, what do you mean, debris?
He's absolutely right. Okay,
Oh, you're feeling sorry for yourself.
No, I'm not. All right, now we're going to take another break, and I'll finally get to that Twitter story, if I might, if I will. Also, this very, very interesting story about the horrible, rotten, stinking year that the Redskins have had will lead us into Joe Dickhead, and he will give us his tally. They didn't do well.
So last week they did fantastic.
Yeah, and this week they just went belly up again. So we got to find out, man. I told them they were fired if they had the rotten week. They came through with a 12-4 mark last week. This past week, I got to find out what happened on Monday night, but they were going into Monday night. There were 4 wins, 9 defeats. So they stink on high, man. We'll just have to, we'll have to see. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back with Joe Dickhead and the Professor right after a couple of these here announcements. Right, this is a good old song, man. I forget what movie I just saw this in, and for some reason it just has stayed with me.
Oh, that's Bob Dylan and Rolling Stone?
No. Queen Jane, approximately.
Kind of a goof.
Don't worry about it, man. Welcome back here to Phil Henry Show. What flick were we watching that was in that movie? I don't know. Might have been like...
This is 40?
This is 40? No, it was...
That's one you was in.
Yeah, for about 5 seconds. This movie that I saw, I forget. Anyway, welcome back, and what a weekend it has been. What a fantastic weekend of football games. I'm telling you, it was one of the best. The snow on the ground, the acrobatic catches, the fantastic finishes. We had down-to-the-wire ball games. The whole thing was a beautiful thing. And to tell us more about it is Joe Dickhead and the Professor here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be with you and the fans. And, of course, we did. We sucked. Oh, God, we sucked here this past weekend. Joe Dickhead and the Professor with our picks. However, the Bears defeated the Cowboys here on Monday night, Phil, 45-28. So at least the Professor and I are able to pull that one out of our pants.
Now, you guys went, what, 6-9?
6 wins, 9 defeats. And I tell you, a lot of these games are very, very close, as you said, Phil. Taking a look at the scoreboard here, the Professor. Professor, what did you see as the... Where did we really get tooled?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, in the early games, that Browns-Patriots game, you got to be putting me on. The Browns just lost it by a point. The Patriots came back. We had the Browns in that game, and they lose it by a point. The other game that we had was the Vikings over the Ravens. It took the Ravens a late comeback to beat the Vikings 29-26.
But the Buccaneer, you guys had the Bills in that Bucs game.
That game, yeah, right there is an example of just how lousy we are at picking football games. However, as far as this week goes, we are now 39-32. So we've still got a seven-game difference in the seasonal record. But the finals in this weekend's football, as you mentioned, the Bengals over the Colts, we had that one right, 42-28. The Colts are really, really... Andrew Luck, yeah, sure, he's the answer.
Well, that's not necessarily Andrew Luck. The Colts' defense is horrible.
Well, in any event, the Colts have just... they're nowhere where they used to be, and they're going away from that fast.
In the next game, we had the Browns, but it was the Patriots 27-26 over the Browns. It was the Jets finally winning. I think the Jets have won another one here. They won their third in a row, 37-27, the Jets. The Chiefs all over the Redskins. Mike Shanahan, the word is he's out there in Washington. We'll see, 45-10. The Vikings lost to the Ravens. We had the Vikings in that game, but they lost 29-26. We did pick the pack over the Falcons. Another one of those late, big, exciting finishes there in Green Bay. Well, I tell you, when you talk about the weather, Phil, the frozen tundra there of Green Bay.
Yeah, that frozen tundra looked real good with the Packers winning on the 22-21. We haven't been able to pull an upset special yet, Phil, because we keep announcing who we think will win the game. The Buccaneers beat the Bills 27-6. It was the Dolphins over the Steelers. There's another game we got hosed six ways to sunset on.
That's right. We had in that ball game the Steelers, and it took the Dolphins another late finish. The Dolphins with a late finish there to beat the Steelers in that ball game. In the next game, it was the Eagles 34, the Lions 20. We had the Lions in that game. There was no reason at all for the Lions to lose that game, and yet we got scorched.
Now, here's a game that you guys never did, had no business picking the Titans over the Broncos, but you did.
Well, we're not picking by a football skill. You got to understand, Phil, it's a new day. We're picking according, this week we were picking according to the size of the city. If it was a smaller city, we picked them to win. Nashville is smaller than Denver. We picked them to win. They got their ass handed to them.
Yeah, it was the Denver Broncos, 51, and the Nashville, or the Tennessee Titans. Well, how come... Why would we pick Nashville?
Because they play out of Nashville.
Yeah, but they're called Tennessee.
That's a state. You want me to say the state's bigger?
Yeah, we would have won if we would have picked the state.
No, you guys are picking the city, I understand.
Yeah, but they don't play for a city.
They play in a city. They Look, come on, man. I mean...
Professor, will you shut up, please?
Don't tell me to shut up. I put my ass on the line for you every week.
Oh, okay, honey. Woo! Anyway, the phone back. Go, you know what? This is, I feel like Bobby Dooley and he's Steve.
Anyway, the Rams lost to the Cardinals 10-30.
It's the Cardinals 30, the Rams 10. We picked the Rams. It was the Seahawks losing to the 49ers 19-17. We picked the Seahawks. The Chargers all over the Giants. We had that one. That was our upset special, too. And we announced the winner.
Oh, yeah, shoot.
You know, we got to stop doing that.
No kidding. You guys keep announcing upset specials. You're never going to make a dime. Who'd you have in the Saints game? You must have had New Orleans, right?
We did have New Orleans, and they were all over the Panthers 31-13. And we took the Chicago... Why'd we take the Chicago Bears? We're supposed to take the smaller city. We're supposed to take Dallas. Shoot.
Yeah, but you guys won that one. Technically, you should take that as a loss.
Yeah, man. I don't know what we're going to do. We got to pay off because we say we picked the Bears.
Well, I don't know. The Bears are supposed to be, aren't they smaller than the Cowboys?
No, they're not. They're in Chicago.
You guys had better get your act together, man, or I will fire you.
Oh, come on, Phil.
Don't be saying one thing and doing something else. Now you got me confused. I say you guys should pick the Cowboys. Give all that money back.
What about the people?
Thanks a lot. Unreal.
Those two guys are, they're going to be a liability for you. You watch out because you're going to get some gambler in here who's going to hold you responsible.
Phil, that's not a, she's saying something I think you should take full note of.
What? How are they going to... They can't hang that on me.
Some guy, some bigwig, is going to say, well, I heard it on the Phil Hendry show, and I don't know who this Joe Dickhead is, but just like, you know, he said it and you got it. That's, you know?
Yes, the thing that makes you laugh all the time.
Well, he's got the Bears down here. He picked the Bears before the game. Now, just because a guy says, here's what my criteria is, does that necessarily mean, I mean, he's paying off on the Bears. He picked the Bears. He's got to pay off on the Bears. I mean, he won that. Okay. And is he actually taking bets? I mean...
Yeah, he's got the sports book.
Well, then he's going to have to pay the Bears if that's who he picked. And you know something else? People would have said to him, hey, Joe, you better check with the people that operate your money change in there, buddy, because, you know, they must have come up to the window there or wherever the hell you guys operate in Vegas and said, hey, by the way, I thought he was picking the smaller city. That'd be Dallas. So I'm betting Dallas.
No, but if it says they're choosing Chicago.
Yeah, well, he's not giving points, so I don't know. The whole thing to me, strictly from hunger.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay, well, next week there'll be another set of criteria that he'll probably change at the last minute, but for now, he's claiming that they're 6-9, which means that they are 39-32 on the season, and they go into next week. That's not a very impressive mark anyway, so even when he's doing the fancy-dancy that this cat's doing, he's all in a heap, this dude. All right, speaking of football, we'll come back. We also have Vernon Dozier. By the way, Vernon Dozier is going to be with us next hour to talk about what he calls, well, we can't use the word that he uses on the website, but we, if you want to know what it's called on the website, go take a look. The most sissy hits, not the most brutal hits in the NFL, but the sissiest hits. And essentially, he's talking about hits that people thought were brutal and were not. Head on over to our store, our online store, you guys, because as we say, it's a big Christmas sandwich, and we all got to take a bite. We've got stuff to stuff that stocking with from the Phil Henry online store. We've got gift subscriptions. We've got Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts and hoodies. We've got Bobby Dooley keychains. We got ball caps. We got shirts. We got CDs. We got the Phil Henry Show shot glass. We got the Phil Henry Show coffee mug. In fact, Bud, have you got that?
Yeah, right there on camera number one on the counter if you want to see it.
There it is on camera one. Those of you who are not on Phil TV and HD, well, then
that's just too damn bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, listen, I wanted to mention one thing. We're going to be doing a free Phil Henry video cast on Ustream at some point near and dear in the future. So we'll keep you advised of that. If you want to see us perform the show, we will be doing a free one on Ustream soon. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, back next hour with more from Vernon Dozier.